Greetings, friends and new listeners, and welcome to this program of the Archie Hardy Ministries. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for joining us today because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Today's message by my father, Brother Hardy, is Five Conditions of Answered Prayer. This is a subject suited for and needed by every Christian. We have all experienced times when we felt our prayers were not working or that our answers were being hindered. I believe you will find some answers about your unanswered prayers in today's message, Five Conditions of Answered Prayer.
I'm preaching about the five conditions you must meet to get prayers answered. You must have the password, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to get some information, you computer lovers are going to like me. To get some information from things stored in computers, you have to know the password. Just recently, I've got with the company with computers. And in order for me to access the information that's in that computer, they gave me a password and an 800 number, which means it doesn't cost me anything to call it. And when I dial that 800 number, the voice on the other end says, "What is the password?" And then when I give them the password, they said, "What do you want?" And when I push the button and tell them what I want, then they give me what I want. And I hang the phone up and I go away singing, "I got just what I wanted." Well, God's got everything you want, as it were, in his heavenly computer. And he gave you a password. My password is 5 digits. How many say amen? And the password is J-E-S-U-S. Hallelujah. That's the password. And when you come in prayer with the password, then God says, "Press the next button and tell me what you want." Hallelujah. So then when you tell God what you want, it must not be a mist. You must be specific. Well, another scripture in 1 John said, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is the will of God. This is God's will. This is what he wants you to have. This contains his promises. And one Bible publisher, the Dakes Bible, has done the job for you and has searched out and found over 5,000 promises that God has promised to give you. There are 5,000 things God has promised to do for a child of God. And included in those 5,000 promises is everything that you need to live godly and victoriously and overcomingly. In fact, when you pray, you only have to have 2 or 3 promises to nail it down, and God's given you 5,000 some odd promises. So when you pray, don't miss it to consume it on your own lust, but get at least 2 or 3 scriptures covering your need. And when you come with the password Jesus and 2 or 3 promises that God has already promised on record to do, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to go away like I did when I hung up the phone. You're going to go away saying, "I got just what I wanted from the Lord." Oh, give him a good clap off. Hallelujah. But also, you must ask with a forgiving heart. You got aught against your brother? Don't think that you're going to ask from God and receive. Jesus said, if you remember you have something in art against your brother, leave your gift upon the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother. Then Jesus told his disciples, said, when you stand praying, forgive those that have done aught against you. For if you don't forgive, your Father which is in heaven will not forgive you. You know, people write me and say, Brother Hardy, I pay my tithes. I give a first fruit offering. I give missionary offering. I give. I'm doing everything I know what to do, he said, but I'm praying and praying, and I can't get my prayers through, and something's stopping it. Maybe this is it. Maybe you got aught against your brother. You got something there. See, when you got aught against your brother, that stops to communicate. That stops to fellowship with your brother. And then that stops the fellowship with the father of your brother. 1 John, the first chapter, John said, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. You that's walking in the light of the Father will have fellowship one with another. And then every other brother or sister that's walking in the light, you'll have fellowship with them. And if you don't have fellowship with your true brother and sister, there is something wrong in your life. For the Bible not only said walk in fellowship with your brother and sister, but the commandment was, this is the new commandment, which is an old commandment, love one another. It's not enough just to love God. You need to read and study the whole book of 1 John. And the primary teachings he is teaching there is, you love, first of all, you believe Jesus is the divine Son of God. And that God gave him as a gift and as a substitute for your sins to bear your sins to Calvary and pay the price. That if you will accept him as your substitute and sin bearer and put your faith in him as the divine Son of God and confess that he is the divine Son of God that God gave to take your sins away, you'll be saved. And then because of that, the next commandment is that you are to love God. And the third commandment is that you are to love your brother like you love God. For he said, if you cannot love your brother in whom you have seen, how can you love your father whom you have not seen? And he that loveth him that begetteth, loveth him that is begotten. And if there is something in your heart between you and your brother, there is something diametrically wrong with your experience. And God said, don't pray, don't come and offer me a gift, don't do nothing till you get that straightened out. Because if you don't get that straightened out, that thing that's between you two will then be a tool for the devil. You have given place to the devil, and the devil will use that, and you're in danger of becoming a murderer spiritually. Because you're endangering to have that thing that's ought between you and brother to become hate. And John said in 1 John that he that hateth his brother is in darkness even to now. And he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. And if you profess to love God, then you must show it by loving the one that God has begot. If you do not love the children of God, John says, then you are not a lover of God. So we must, when we come praying, meet the condition of we must forgive those that have done something against us. My motto is, and one of the precepts that I try to live by is this: I don't care what others do, I'm going to do right. I don't care how others live, I'm going to live right. I don't care what others do, I am going to obey the word of God. I don't care if they don't forgive me. I am going to forgive them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when you stand praying, if there's something between you and your brother or sister, then forgive them. Even if they're dead wrong, Jesus gave us the command, be ye merciful, even as your Father which is in heaven is merciful. See, that's how we're supposed to be like him, in mercy. And what does mercy mean? Mercy means that you give someone something when they don't deserve it. It is grace in manifestation. Grace means the undeserved gift, the free gift. Mercy means the giving of the undeserved gift. It's like a criminal before a judge found guilty. In fact, he might have even threw himself on the court and said, I'm guilty, judge. And the law then prescribes a sentence. But then he cries out, give me what I don't deserve. I deserve the letter of the sentence of the law. But give me what I don't deserve. Give me mercy. Suspend my sentence. You see, that's what mercy is. And God has called all of humanity before the courts of heaven, and we have been found guilty of the law. And the sentence that should have been meted out to us was eternal death. But if you will throw yourself on the mercy of God and call on the advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, in the name or for the cause of the Lord, have mercy. God will not only suspend the sentence, God will pardon you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be ye merciful, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is merciful. Like I said, I don't worry what they do. I'm going to do right. I've made up my mind. My mind is made up. I'm like David. My mind is made up. And the cardinal rule is, first there be a willing mind. My mind is made up. My heart is fixed. I am going to serve the Lord. I am going to do what he says. One of my prayers is, Father, in the name of Jesus, I will to do the will of God. I will it. I am not willing. I will to do the will of God. I will not only I will do the will of God, but I will to do it. I have determined my will is to do the will of God. I'm not only willing to do it, not only I will do it, but I'm doing it. And that's the whole precept for my life. I'm going to make heaven my home. And the only way that I can make heaven my home, I must come by the spiritual roadmap. I must avoid the detours. I must walk in the light as he is in the light. And part of that is I must forgive, because Jesus said when you stand praying and there's aught in your heart to your brother, forgive. Because Jesus then said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you? And I don't care who we are, we all have a lot for the Father to forgive. Can I say, hear an amen? Oh, I don't mean we live in willful sin, but neither are we in sinless perfection yet. Neither have we arrived at the place that we are not able to sin. You see, we're in a place that we're able to sin, but I am not going to sin. How many say amen? I'm not in sinless perfection yet. When God gives me my glorified body, and I shall be like Jesus is in his glorified body, and like my Father, you see, you can't tempt my Father. And when you get your glorified body that's severed from the world and all of the flesh, you can't tempt it with fleshly and worldly things. But as long as we're in this flesh and blood body and we're in the world, we can be tempted. And if you don't take care of this thing, you might slip and fall. Now the Christian might slip and fall, but he don't stay and live in sin. How many say amen? John said, my little children, which is a term of endearment, I write unto you, you sin not. That's God's highest order. And if we were not able to sin not, he wouldn't command us to sin not. And in the Greek, that's an aorist tense, which means don't you even commit one sin. He said, because the grace of God covers everything, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Or in other words, if you leak out and get weak and slip and commit a sin, don't stay there and walk in it. Get up and run to the throne of mercy and grace. Be sure to dial your advocate's number, J-E-S-U-S. Hallelujah. Then Jesus will get on the line for a conference call. Hallelujah. The heavenly switchboard will plug you in to El Shaddai, the Almighty, the All-Merciful, plenteous in mercy, full of grace, that will not always be angry. Hallelujah. When Moses wanted to see God's glory, he said, no man can see my face. I'll give you an ellipsis with the glory on it and live. Just like you can't look at the sun with this human body. It'd burn you up if you got next to it. You'd atomize. He said, but I want you to hide in the hollow of the rock. I'm going to put my hand over the rock. And then I'm going to turn on all of my glory. I'm going to turn it up to its full candle power. And part of glory, the word glory means that by which a person is known by. And I'm going to tell you what I'm known by. Not only my outshining and majesty, but a God plenteous in mercy. Hey, a mighty God. A powerful God. A God that will not always hold anger. A God that will give mercy and grace. A God that will save. And a God that will heal. And a God that will deliver. And a God that will forgive. And a God that will forget. Amen and say, amen. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful, wonderful, mighty name.
Amen. What an insightful message by God's servant, Brother Hardy. Five conditions of answered prayer. Prayer is the most vital component in the church's invincible arsenal of spiritual weaponry. And is why Satan fights our prayer life so relentlessly, both individually and corporately, because he knows very well what many Christians may lose sight of. God does hear and answer prayer. When God wants to move in the earth, he sets men to praying. Yet, there are times when we perceive that our prayers are not being answered. Now, this could be a matter of spiritual warfare, like Daniel experienced, or it may be our failure to meet one or more of the conditions God has set forth in His Word. In this message, Brother Hardy discusses five, and by no means all, but five principles that govern getting our prayers answered. Scripture clearly teaches that there are certain factors that can hinder our prayers. Find out what they are and how you can overcome these pitfalls to answered prayer. Five Conditions of Answered Prayer is available on CD. And when you order Five Conditions of Answered Prayer, we will send you the bonus message by Brother Hardy, The Power of One Praying Man. This examines the dynamic operative power that prayer releases, the prevailing prayer that James 5:16 defines, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. But the Greek text is actually more powerful and means it prevails. It overrides and overrules the opposition of enemy forces. You will receive both CD messages for a love gift of $15 for the radio ministry. Request offer 158. Mail to Archie Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or order online at archiehardy.org. Once again, you will receive both messages, Five Conditions of Answered Prayer and The Power of One Praying Man, offer 158, a 2-CD set for a minimum love gift of $15. Mail to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Till next time, this is Sharon Ott saying, Maranatha.